You are listening to the Victory Podcast. We hope this message will find favor in your life. For more updates about Victory, log on to victory.org.ph and bookmark our website in your browser. Now, here's your message.
So we've been studying now for weeks the life of Nehemiah. He was the one who led the third wave of the returning exiles to back to their Jewish homeland, no? Around 445 BC. So siya po yung nanguna. There was already previous return by, led by Zerubbabel and Ezra, and now it was his turn. His mission with the blessing of the Persian king was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem because the people are in fear, they are suffering disgrace because they are in constant threat of attack from their enemies. And so when Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem as the governor, you know, inappoint po siyang governor, he saw there was a socio-economic problem or crisis. The poor were being oppressed by the wealthier class or sector of society. Their region was in having an economic crisis, and there was exploitation of the poor. And many of them, these his fellow men, they are looking for a godly leader, an example, a man. They are looking for a leader whom they can follow, look up to, and emulate. And this is where we are today. And so Nehemiah, we can see that he was able to finish reconstructing or rebuilding the walls because of his servant leadership, because of the words, because of his encouragement, because of his faith in God, because he was able to unite the people, and because of his servant leadership, which he modeled. He set an example. And that's why setting an example before others is very important. I remember when I conducted a parenting seminar in Faith Christian School last week, last September 8th, I asked this question. To the parents. What is one unforgettable incident you have with your kids when they were young? No? May naalala ba kayong ganun yung unforgettable? Marami kayong memories na ganun, di ba? Yung mga nung maliliit pa yung anak nyo, unforgettable experiences or incidents. No? And one mother narrated her story. She said that when my kids are young, I was telling them that when you drink, I told them, if you drink, don't ever drink alcoholic drinks. No? Mga inuming na kalasing. No? Drink beer, gin, this wine. Dahil if you drink this hard liquor, hard drinks, you will die. Mamatay kayo. Ganyan. Kaya huwag kayong iinom yan. Yun ang sabi niya. And then one day, their kids came running up to their mom and nagsumbong. Mommy, 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 si daddy, umiinom. Bakit ganyan? Bakit ganun? Bakit buhay pa rin siya? You know? Tinanong mga bata. You know? And so she explained, no? The truth. And so, yung pong mga words na sinasabi natin, our kids remember that. And that's why it's very important for us. There's a challenge for us to set an example at home. Although we are not perfect, no, as parents, di ba? We're not perfect. But we need to set an example. There's a need to set an example. And speaking of setting an example, have you heard the news of this janitor in Naiya who returned more than 600,000 pesos in cash? And aside from that, mayroon pang mga jewelry, expensive sunglasses. They totaled it amounting to 1.8 million pesos. Oh, 1.8 million. Yung halaga po ng bag na nakita niya sa pre-departure area ng Naiya. His name is Ronald Gadayan. Nandiyan ba siya? Ayan, si Ronald. May kakilala, meron ba sa atin dito? Kakilala natin si Ronald Gadayan, kamag-anak, kakilala? Wala. Okay. And sabi po niya, ang turo po ng aking magulang ay huwag kunin ang bagay na hindi sa iyo. Lumaki po ako, naghihikahos, pero kailanman hindi ko pinag-interesan ang mga bagay na napupulot ko sa trabaho. So he has been working as a building attendant at NAIA for the last 3 years, and he has proven time and again his honesty on many occasions. No, hindi na po ito yung first time, by returning items left by passengers at the terminal. So pag nakita niyo po siya sa airport, no, pwede niyong testingin, no? Iwan niyo muna yung bag niyo. Baka iba makakuha. Oh, delegado, wag na lang, no? So Nehemiah, the first thing that Nehemiah did, no, he in his servant leadership is he had when he saw, when he heard about the exploitation, the oppression of the poor, he had righteous indignation. Okay? Nagalit po siya. He had righteous indignation. Now there's a bad form of anger, there's a right form of anger, no? When we get angry over injustice, no? Sometimes you get angry over traffic, when your appliance is malfunctioning, or when you can't find that key, di mo nakikita, o merong nasunog yung niluluto mo, or yung lumabas sa exam, hindi yung pinag-aralan mo. No? But Nehemiah got angry because the poor were being oppressed by the rich in his homeland. And the poor are being abused and charged with so much interest. Sinanglan na po nila ang kanilang mga ari-arian. Their sons and daughters are being enslaved, nagiging alipin na. There's economic injustice. And Exodus 22 tells us that God is angry with people who oppress the widows, the orphans, those who are poor and helpless. And that's why we need to cultivate this kind of response to poverty and injustice in our nation. We need to feel the weight of God's concern and compassion for the poor and needy. Pag napapadaan po tayo, when you pass by the squatters area, how do you feel for them? What do you see? When you see the garbage piling up dito sa mga estero, sa mga rivers and creeks, what do you see? What is in your heart? For Nehemiah, he had righteous indignation. He had concern. He had compassion for the poor. And that's why poverty, the root cause of this poverty is not just it's not just the rich wanting to get more money. It's basically greed. It's basically in the heart. Poverty is not just an economic problem. It is also a spiritual problem, because there's greed in the heart. There's meron pong kasakiman sa puso, and that's the sinful nature in the heart of man. That's the root of this problem. And we can see that not only in nations, but in the nations in all over the world. No, pag yung pong presyo ng gasolina, the oil prices are being controlled by oil producing and exporting countries. OPEC, that just 12 nations controlling nearly 80% of the oil reserves of the world. No, and when they decide to produce less, the prices of oil go up. And so we can see that there's greed, not just in individuals, but in nations or in organizations around the world. And that's why poverty remains the most critical problem of our nation. And according to national statistics, if you earn less than 16,000, you're already 16,000 pesos, you're already living below in the poverty level. And about 26% of our nation, of Filipinos, 26% are living below poverty level, poverty line. And that's why there are many reasons for the poverty in our nation. That's why our president is doing his best to attract more foreign investors. Let's pray, continue to pray for our government, Lord, na maalis na yung red tape, yung bureaucracy, na bumaba yung power rates, yung energy rates, at maging business friendly tayo sa mga investors by eliminating or reducing graft and corruption. Now, if we look to the root cause of poverty, the most common cause of poverty, if you trace it back, no, so you can ask the question, why are people poor? Because oftentimes they have no job. Okay? Wala silang trabaho. So why don't they have a job? Ba't wala silang trabaho? Because they are not qualified. Why are they not qualified? Because they did not finish their education. Bakit di sila nakatapos ng pag-aaral? Because they lack money. Okay, so it goes around. Lack of education basically is one of the root cause of poverty. And that's why when you address that problem, lack of education, when you're helping someone get his or her education, you are meeting that problem of poverty face on, head on. And that's why yung pong helper namin sa bahay, pinag-aral po namin siya sa Miriam College. Meron po silang adult education, night classes, tuition fees only 1,000 per year, no? Per sem for technical vocational courses. She's now taking up HRM for 2 years. Libre po yon pag senior citizen ka. They give scholarships. Okay, gusto mong makatapos ng pag-aaral. Night classes po yon, Monday to Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Alright? So, in that way, we are giving hope to people who can't afford but they are ready to study. They are deserving. And that's why we also have that real life foundation in our church that we are supporting. So this is the first thing that happened. There was righteous indignation over oppression, over injustice. Do we feel the same way today? Next thing that happened, verse 7. It says, ito po nangyari, I pondered them in my mind and then accused the nobles and officials. I told them, you are exacting usury from your own countrymen. So I called together a large meeting to deal with them and said, as far as possible, we have bought back our Jewish brothers who were sold to the Gentiles. Now you are selling your brothers only for them to be sold back to us. They kept quiet because they could find nothing to say. So I continued, what you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies? I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain, but let the exacting of usury stop. Give back to them immediately their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and houses, and also the usury you are charging them, the 100th part of the money, grain, new wine, and oil. We will give it back, they said, and we will not demand anything more from them. We'll do as you say. Then I summoned the priests and made the nobles and officials take an oath to do what they had promised. I also shook out the folds of my robe and said, in this way may God shake out of his house and possessions every man who does not keep this promise. So may such a man be shaken out and emptied. Second thing that happened is there was a courageous confrontation. Righteous indignation, now courageous confrontation. He thought about the situation, Nehemiah, and then he called for a meeting and he rebuked, he corrected them publicly. He confronted their greed and told them to stop the practice of overcharging interest in their money lending. He provided a way for these rich people to change their ways. They have that picture. And make restitution for what they had done. And so, maaksyon kagad si Nehemiah. No? Pinabalik niya yung mga ari-arian, the properties. There was an instant jubilee. There was a restoration of property. And he told them to stop the charging of interest for the loan so that they will not be slave anymore. They will not be, hindi na sila maalipin, hindi na sila mabaon sa utang. And he taught them through his own example. So he confronted them. He had the courage to speak what is right and what is correct, what is true. And many times ito pong practice of correcting some wrongdoing. Pag may nakikita kang anomalya, o may overpricing, o merong graft and corruption, merong hidden illicit, illegal practices, opisina nyo, o pangungopya, o leakage sa school nyo. No? What do you do? Do you confront what is wrong? Do you do your job as a as a son and daughter of God, do you expose ungodliness and expose corruption? For us Filipinos, confronting someone, many of us, it's not easy. Diba? Pag may nakikita tayong mali sa isang kaibigan, sometimes we course it instead of talking directly to that person. Diba? Madaan pa tayo sa may another way. Sasabihin mo sa kaibigan ng kaibigan niya. No, yung sa kaibigan niya. Sa kaibigan mo, na kaibigan din niya. No, sabihin mo nga sa kanya, mag-ano siya, gumamit siya ng mouthwash. No? O kaya gumamit siya ng deodorant. No? So sasabihin, papasabi mo pa, sa instead of telling the truth, speaking the truth in love to that person, diba? Kakalat pa tuloy yung chismis. Diba? Sabi nga sa Proverbs 27:5, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Diba? When you confront someone, it's better to correct someone openly than to have a secret love and hide it. Better is open rebuke. And that's why we shouldn't be offended when someone corrects us. No? Why? Because it is for our own good. The way it's just gandahan lang natin yung pagko-correct natin. There's what we call the sandwich principle. Alam niyo po ba yan, yung sandwich principle or the cheeseburger principle? Yung good, no? Unahin mo muna yung good, and then yung something thing that he needs or she needs to improve, her weakness, and then you compliment that person again, encourage that person at the end. Okay? Alam ko, parang ganito, alam ko may desire ka na sumali sa music group, may hilig ka sa music, no? Pero right now sa audition namin ay nakikita namin na kulang pa ang skill level mo, no? Pero kung ikaw ay mag-ensayo araw-araw, manonood ka ng American Idol, kung ikaw ay magpa-practice mag-gitara, no, I'm sure sa next audition makakasama ka na sa music group, no? So ganun, sandwich principle. Positive, negative, positive. So courageous confrontation, yun po nangyari sa dito sa buhay ni Nehemiah, his servant leadership. Next thing that happened, verse 14, moreover, from the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, until his 32nd year, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor. But the earlier governors, those preceding me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them in addition to food and wine. Their assistants also lorded it over the people, but out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Furthermore, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table, as well as those who came to us from the surrounding nations. Each day, one ox, 6 choice sheep, and some poultry were prepared for me. In every 10 days, an abundant supply of wine of all kinds. In spite of all this, I never demanded the food allotted to the governor, because the demands were heavy on these people. So right, the last thing that Nehemiah did was he did the right action. Right action. First, he had righteous indignation. He became angry at injustice. And next, he confronted in that injustice, confronted them, courageous confrontation, and then he did the right action. Maksyon ka, he set an example of what he asked from the officials regarding the right action, the right thing to do in solving the crisis. How? Through his selfless and generous hospitality, his example of generosity and sacrificial life. That's the right action that Nehemiah did. He set an example of servant leadership. His generosity was shown through his own example. And that's why today, our leaders, let's pray that our leaders will follow the example of Nehemiah. Na sila po ay hindi nila lamang isipin ang pansarili nilang kapakanan. They will not just think of their own personal selfish interests, but they will truly concern. They will be truly concerned for our countrymen. That hindi lang sila mamumudmod ng mga relief goods tuwing may calamity para maging popular sila sa next election. But they will be examples of generosity, of servant leadership, honest true humble leadership in sa mga nasasukupan nila. And that's why Nehemiah not only protected the poor, but set a personal example of generosity for the entire province that he governed. So hindi po niya kinuha, he did not receive income from the taxes, though that's legal. And second thing is, he and his staff refused to acquire personal property. Hindi po siya nagpayaman. And then third, nagpakain pa siya. Pinakain po niya yung 150 people. Because the demands, the people are carrying a heavy burden. They're part of rebuilding the work. And so he fed over his table in his 150 people ate at his table on a daily basis. And so Nehemiah saw personal sacrifice as the right way, the right action to do. And that's an example of generosity. And speaking of genuine generosity, here's what a French author and philosopher wrote. That's what I consider true generosity. You give your all, and yet you always feel as if it costs you nothing. Yung po yung totoong generosity. You're giving something, resources, no, your wealth, your riches, but you give it all, but it is as if parang wala lang sa'yo. Yun po ang totoong generosity. Pagiging bukas palad, pagiging mapagbigay, and not expecting something in return. And you know, it's God who rewarded Nehemiah. And how was Nehemiah able to do all these things? Paano po niya nagawa lahat to? Yung righteous indignation, courageous confrontation, paano siya nagkaroon ng lakas ng loob? How he was able to do the right thing, the right action. Nehemiah began and ended his work every day with prayer. Yun po ang sekreto ni Nehemiah. He was on his knees. Ever since Nehemiah chapter 1 up to chapter 12, all throughout the book of Nehemiah, we'll see Nehemiah praying to God, "Remember me." Verse 19, "Remember me with favor, O my God, for all I have done for these people." And the New Living Translation says, Nehemiah prayed, "Remember, O my God, all that I have done for these people, and bless me for it. Lord, bless me, empower me, give me the strength, the wisdom, the grace to do what you have called me, called me to do." And that's why our challenge is for us to start and end our day with prayer. Do you pray every day? Do you read your Bible and pray every day? What happens when we pray? When we pray, we submit all of our concerns to God. We give to Him all our plans so that He will be able to bless every work of our hands. So that He will bless our studies, our work, our business, our family, our plans, the things that we're planning to do in the future. No, when you submit everything in prayer to God, you can bless everything that you will do. And so what happened as a result of the servant leadership of Nehemiah? With God's grace, with the help of God, the people became united. He was able to galvanize unity and cooperation among the Jews in Jerusalem. And here's what happened in Nehemiah chapter 6, 15, 16. So the wall was completed on the 25th day, on the 25th of Elul, in 52 days. Less than 2 months, tapos. No? When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Everybody say, "With the help of our God, we will complete everything that God has asked us or God has called us to do." And so, the walls of Jerusalem neglected for 140 years. It was done, reconstructed, rebuilt in less than 2 months, 52 days, a record time. Even though there's opposition, there was threat of their enemies, they had, because of the grace of God in the life of Nehemiah, because he exemplified servant leadership, he had righteous indignation towards injustice, he courageously confronted wrong practices of rich officials, and he did the right action of setting an example of generosity. And when you become, when you're generous before your people, kung ikaw ang CEO or manager or boss or president ng company mo, no? Pag you're, if you're generous to your employees, the result of that, your employees, your workers will also be hardworking and generous. It will influence them. Your example, and that's servant leadership that makes things happen and completes projects. So the main point we want to leave with you today is this: servant leaders make things happen. Do you believe in that? Servant leaders, not dominant, authoritative, tyrant, dictatorial leaders, but servant leaders make things happen. C. William Pollard, chairman of the Service Master Company, which has been recognized by Fortune magazine as the number one service company among Fortune 500, wrote that servant leadership was a motto of his company. He said, servant leaders must be committed. They keep promises, they listen and learn, and they make things happen. Servant leaders are givers, not takers. They promote diversity, and they provide an environment where people can learn and grow. Ito po yung sabi ni William Pollard. So servant leadership was one of the essential principles that was modeled and taught by our Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. Here's what our Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20. Jesus called them together. He said, "You know about the rulers of the nations. They hold power over their people. Their high officials order them around. Don't be like that. Instead, anyone who wants to be important among you must be your servant. And anyone who wants to be first must be your slave. Be like the Son of Man. He did not come to be served. Instead, he came to serve others. He came to give his life as the price or as a ransom for setting many people free. He gave his ransom so that we can be saved. He gave his life. Jesus gave his life on the cross. He shed his blood. He was crucified. He was shamed, humiliated, mocked, despised, spit at, beaten, so that we can be set free from our sins. And that's servant leadership. The ultimate sacrifice, God's generosity, when God the Father gave his own beloved Son so that we can be saved and be restored back to him, so that we can be his children and enjoy his fellowship, a relationship with God for eternity. Being with God forever, that's the greatest possession we could ever have here on earth, our relationship with God. And that's why the example of Nehemiah, his servant leadership, is what will make things happen in your life. If you're believing God for your family to be saved, then let's be servants at home. Let's serve our wife, our husband, or our children. Let's show them the life of Christ through our words, through our example, through everything that we do, so that God can be glorified. Praise God. Let's pray. Thank the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the God of Nehemiah, who gave him the strength, the grace to finish rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, the broken walls. You took away the disgrace, and you brought pride, you brought unity, you brought prosperity in the lives of your people. We pray, Father, the same way with us. Maybe some of us are having a crisis today, some a financial crisis, but we know, Lord, that you are a faithful God, or Jehovah Jireh, who provides us according to your riches and glory today. And if you're that man or woman, if you're that husband or wife, and you're encountering that economic or financial crisis, we want to pray for you today. If you're about to start a new business, or maybe you're believing God for promotion in your company, whatever it is, you're praying for it and you're still waiting for it. God wants to finish the good work that He began in your life. Maybe you've been called to go as a missionary and you're still preparing for it. Or maybe you have a calling to go into full-time ministry. God is preparing you for it. He will complete that work until the day Jesus comes. If you're that person, you need the grace of God in your life. We want to pray for you this time. Just raise your hands to the Lord. And let's believe the Lord for a breakthrough in your life. Praise God. Yes, hands are being raised. God sees that hand. Yes, Lord, we look up to you. Lord, we pray for those who are in financial crisis. Lord, that you'll open doors and open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessing upon these men and women who are raising their hands. Lord, we thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. Your provision shall be seen. That no good thing will you withhold from those who walk uprightly. Wala po kayong ipagkakait sa mga sumusunod sa inyo. So Lord God, we pray that you bless them and bless all the works of their hands. Give them the power and ability to produce wealth. Lord, give them ideas, creative ideas. Those who are starting a new business, Lord, surround them with your favor. Those who are believing for promotion, Lord, you said promotion does not come from the east or west, but from you, from heaven. So Lord, we pray, let your favor surround them as a shield. And those who are, Lord, who are mga hindi pa tapos, may they are undergoing projects in their lives, in their family, Lord, bless them. Let complete the work, the good work that you have begun in the lives of these people. We give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.